Grainmaker. Welcome everyone to the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, a Prairie Proud Wrestling Podcast covering everything from Winnipeg to worldwide. My name is Blair Pacheco. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a great day, evening, weekend, whenever it is you might be sitting down to listen to this. Now, I'm certain that by now you know about the incredible independent scene all throughout Canada. From coast to coast, every province is absolutely killing it. But with that said, I would be amiss if we didn't address just how incredible it is down in the Midwest right now, because things are absolutely cooking. And my guest this week has been doing some phenomenal things down there. They actually they were up in Canada last year wrestling for WPW, and that is where I first saw them. So joining me this week on the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast is none other than Beyond Alpha, Ezio Orlandi. Ezio, how are things going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, and I'll fix the pronunciation. I probably should have said this in the beginning. It's Beyond Alpha Ezio Orlandi.
Ezio, okay.
And you know what? It's fine. It's not like, oh, like I want everyone to get the name right. I imagine one day everyone's just gonna know, you know. Like, it's just something I'm sticking to. I'm not like a super Italian guy, but It's something I just am stubborn on, I guess, and just don't want to change.
Hey, so, you know, and I even thought, like, when we were kind of chatting before, and I was like, oh, like an hour ago, I was like, yeah, I got to make sure I find out exactly. And then, like, we were just chatting, it's like, jump right in things, like, ah, shit. And then even when I'm about to say it, I'm like, I hope I get it right. So Ezio Orlandi. Now let's talk, because I mean, 2023, we're going to talk a little bit about that, was a pretty like significant year for yourself, but how has 2024 been so far? We're a few months in. How have things been looking for you when it comes to wrestling?
We're cooking a little bit, not a little bit. We're cooking. I'm primarily, right now I've already wrestled for Second Wrestling. Like I would say it was my home promotion, like already four times. We just, you know, the promoter just throws out shows that like he planned out and just bang, bang, bang. And those have been fun. I've wrestled for a show called Iron Spirit in Normal, Illinois. Just some Midwest states for right now. And I got some stuff in store for throughout the year that I'm looking forward to spread out in the Midwest, outside the Midwest. I'm excited for this year. And we're already off to a good start. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm having the most fun I've ever had. So, yeah, can't complain right here. I'm just having fun with this year so far.
Well, that's what's most important when it comes to wrestling. Whether you're on my end doing content creating, whether you're involved with wrestling, if you're not having fun, then like, why are we doing it? You know?
I see a lot of people and I see a lot of things. I'm just like, I don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah. But. So let's rewind and let's talk about where you first were introduced to wrestling. Like as a fan, what was it that first drew you into the love for professional wrestling?
Crazy enough, SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, video game for PlayStation 2. That was my first real introduction into wrestling. Like I've seen it on TV here and there like beforehand, but it just didn't grab my interest. But that game got me, and then right after that started watching the show, and it's just been nonstop ever since. so like 2007 basically. Yeah,
like it amazes me so much just how like the current crop of wrestlers that are coming up, how much that game and that time frame really was influential for them, with, you know, like whether it's their love of wrestling or people that inspired them. Like that was a pretty significant time for a lot of wrestlers, I feel.
I thought it was just me alone, and then I meet so many tons of people of my generation, and I can just name like a playlist, a move, something that happened in that video game, and they'll be they'll just get it right like that, like this and this, like, oh yeah, this and this. Like, I was just like, oh wow, okay, so I'm not alone. Like, it's pretty cool, pretty crazy. And honestly, the game was fun, but I didn't think it was, you know, I played a couple more after that. I didn't think it was anything crazy out of the ordinary, but I'm glad that, like, my generation is kind of like a part of that, and we kind of come together on stuff like that, you know.
So who was your go-to when you were playing that game?
I think Rob Van Dam. Van Dam and Kurt Angle. You know, I think they're the most overpowered, like, characters in the game, so maybe that's why. But yeah, those two, and probably Cena.
Yeah,
Batista. It's a fun game, though. I think I played as all the characters, though, and played the storyline. It was, yeah, I enjoyed it really much back in the day.
So when you were growing up, were you able to go, you know, check out local shows at all? Because I'm sure even at that time, independent wrestling was still alive and well.
I actually did not. I was not aware of the indies till about 6 or 7 years later, when I discovered a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla on YouTube. I feel like that's also another introduction of, like, how a lot of people in my generation, like, discovered indie wrestling a little bit with the PWG previews to the shows. And then as soon as, like, we attach that, then you just find, like, all the other indie companies, and then you find like the big one in the Midwest, I think, especially around our time, was AAW.
Yeah.
They were like, oh wow, this has been in front of my face the whole time, and I never got to really, like, touch it or see it until I would say, like, you know, like, because, like, I started adjusting everything, but then I went to college in Iowa.
Okay.
And I wasn't really looking for wrestling back then. I was still watching, like, WWE and, like, all their products and everything. But, like, so, like, wrestling kind of fell in the background, but I was still watching it. I also wasn't thinking about ever becoming a wrestler, too. So, like, I didn't want to see it in person. I'd rather just watching on my TV. And I started going to shows, I would say, when I was starting to become a wrestler, the last three or two years or whatever it is.
Dude, you had me at PWG, because, like, that was a gateway for me as well. But, like, it wasn't until, I think, like, 2016 where I finally discovered it. And right away, it was like buying DVDs and seeing, like, all these incredible wrestlers just putting on these, like, high flying spot fest, and I was like, I need more of this.
More of it, more highlight videos. Yeah. I need all the details. I can't wait, like, 2 months for this DVD to come out. I want to know the results now. Like, I want to see who's coming up. Yeah. I want to see if they're gonna make it on the main stage. Like, oh, I love that. I couldn't wait for the Bola tournament when I first heard about it. Oh. It was such a time.
And I never would have thought, like, because you'd see clips online, and it was, somebody mentioned that there was a six-man tag. It was, like, the Elite versus Ricochet, Matt Sydal, and Will Ospreay, and how it was an incredible match. And I was like, okay, let's see how great this is. I bought the DVD without even, like, knowing anything, and I was blown away. I loved it. Like, I still have it.
I still have that too. That distinct DVD. Oh man, that match. I remember just the hype of, like, when he was, like, I don't know, announced on Twitter, and I was just like, I cannot wait to watch this in, like, 4 months. Like, and it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. You know, it's crazy. I actually met Matt Sydal for the first time. Not this last weekend, but the weekend before, we were on the same show for Second Wrestling. We were having a show in Orlando, and he was just on the card. I really wish I probably should have asked him about that. Like, we were like sitting right next to each other in the locker room, but just thinking about that now, like, oh yeah, man, I couldn't wait for that match. And, like, of all the things I talked to him about, like, I'm surprised I didn't bring that up. I was just like, thinking about that now, I'm like, darn, like, oh.
When your paths cross again, you'll have that one locked and loaded to bust out.
Oh yeah, maybe. We'll see. Gotta hold some kind of face. You know?
So you had mentioned, I mean, not really going to shows, but what kind of spurred you towards becoming a wrestler?
So weirdly enough, it was to get it out of my system. I was just done with college, and I was kind of getting tired of wrestling. I think Kofi lost to Lesnar, and like I found myself still in good shape. I noticed that the school, a freelance wrestling academy, was near me. I just felt like, you know what, I'm gonna give it a shot, and this will like and at that point, I would say while I was in college too, I started like looking up the inside stuff, the podcast reviews, everything that's going on in the background. So I knew how grueling wrestling was and how hard it actually is. So I went in there in the wrestling training, thinking like, I'm just not going to like this. And finally I can move past this. And realistically it got me good. Now I'm a wrestler and I'm doing all the things that like I've seen all these great wrestlers have been doing, and just traveling around the country and doing the stuff. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. It's been one of the coolest things in my life.
Did you do any wrestling in like college or high school or anything like that?
Oh yes. Yes. I was an amateur wrestler from first grade all the way to freshman year of college.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun. It was my sport. It definitely disciplined me as an adult, and going forward to bet on myself, to put in the work myself, to show up the training every day, keep myself in my own head and just keep moving forward, and just know that as long as I put in the work, I can step on the mat with anybody. Mm-hmm. Which I take to everything I do now. Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned freelance, and so that's where you first went for training, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I still train with them today too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure the amateur wrestling did help in some aspects stepping into the ring.
It kind of did, maybe for the physicality and the durability. Mm-hmm. I did wrestle as the heavyweight wrestler in amateur wrestling.
Okay.
So I felt like footwork and just physical chemistry. I felt like I needed to be trained more. It actually took me like a little bit, like I would say almost a year and a half before like I had my first match, and it wasn't even with them. I probably could have had my first match before the end of the first year. But I just wanted to fill in all the gaps of the basics, just to like, you know, like I'm a grown adult at this point, you know, like I didn't want to have an injury right out of the gate and then to burn me out. So after like over a year, I decided I wanted to train at the Nightmare Factory and have my first match with them, where they have their showcases and everything. And I felt like I'd be, I don't know, protected more, if that makes any sense. And I'd kind of have like a, like, if I can look back at my first match, I can be proud of, which fortunately I am. And now it's on YouTube and everything. I can watch it back. It's fine. I like it a lot. I'm proud of it. And that's kind of how I had my first match. I knew I could have had a match, but I decided to wait for all the gaps to be filled before having it.
Well, it's kind of funny, like as you do get older, you do think about things like that more, like, you know, what happens if you get injured? What happens like if you can't, you know, go to work and like make a living outside of this? And it's like, for that to actually weigh on you, it's like, well, yeah, because it's wrestling, but it's like still got to live outside of all of this.
Yeah. And I didn't want to stack up a lot of injuries. I want to have fun with what I do, and I want to know everything. I'm one of those guys that like to play, like, let's say if I was playing a video game, I like to max out my character and then go through the story mode.
If
that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned freelance and Nightmare Factory. I'm sure it was completely different. I don't want to say ways they look at training, but like what you get at freelance, you're not going to get at Nightmare. So you're kind of able to take things from both to put towards yourself. Am I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like every school or academy or like summer camp or whatever, they're all different in some kind of way. They all attack each like element of like how you're training and everything. And I felt freelance taught me all the basics and psychology and to be more of a character and show emotion. And with the Nightmare Factory, filled in all the gaps of how a match is structured and how, what I can do and how I can play with it, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
How long did you end up training at the Nightmare Factory for?
So each camp or session is 3 months. Mm-hmm. So just 3 months of stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, stage five, stage six, and then, you know, like all the way up until like the showcase. And yeah.
Did you have to like relocate for the Nightmare Factory?
Yeah. Fortunately, I found a friend down there that let me stay there for 3 months. This is before they recently have like a camp house that all of them stay at. Okay. Whereas around the time I was at, I kind of had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. Is there something in the background going on?
Yeah, my wife put a paper bag in the garbage can.
But
she's
but
making supper, so I apologize for that.
It's fine. I thought it was me. I'm like, is this mic bad?
No, it's us. We're peak dinner time hours right now because the basement's not finished for me to record down there yet. But we'll try to keep it down over here. At the Nightmare Factory, I mean, what sort of I'll ask, you know, more your experience there and what sort of, you know, feedback you were able to get from the coaches when you first started off and then leaving there, what sort of things did they kind of, you know, get you to work on and what were they kind of happy about with where you were at wrestling wise so far?
My experience, it felt like I was going back to college again, which was awesome. It was, mm-hmm. It was super good. I was happy. I came in with like training experience because we had a lot of people in our class that started fresh, and because, you know, we're going stage one, stage two, stage three, and not stopping. That's once again, that's where like injuries happen. We've had a couple people had to bail out just because, they acquired injuries right away. But for me, it was good. It sharpened everything. Mm-hmm. And also at the time, they also had an athletic trainer for us before the training too. So we'd be training with an athletic trainer for 3 hours, building up muscle and cardio and everything. And then like, we'd stay there for another, we would get an hour break to eat lunch or whatever there. Mm-hmm. And then we would have like another 2 to 3 hours of training, which was super cool for me. It was, mm-hmm. Once again, it was like a fun going back to college camp. And I loved it because I'm passionate about wrestling and everything and love to learn and had a ball. I really had a ball, especially with those guys and mm-hmm. coaches.
Oh, that's awesome. So you mentioned your first match was down there. Who was it with? And like, I mean, nerves heading into it. Or do you remember how you were feeling?
Oh yeah. A lot of nerves. I had no idea kind of what to suspect. I've had some training matches before, but this is with the entrance. This is with like, we had some of the alumni students there as fans. And then we had like all the parents that, you know, flew out or drove down to watch us as the crowd too. So like, I had no idea how this was going to go or what I was like, what I'm doing there for a second. It was like a 5 minute, like, all right, like, here we go, I guess. And but it went off really well, and the opponent I wrestled was he went by the Beast of the East.
Okay.
I believe he was based in New York. I tried finding his social media and reaching out to him. I haven't heard back from him, unfortunately. I hope he's doing well, and I hope he's still following his dream in some capacity. But he was a fun dance partner, and I really appreciate him for having that match with me.
So, I mean, I mentioned at the beginning, I mean, last year you came up to Canada. That was your debut up here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that was my debut for Winnipeg Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. Was that your first time coming up to Canada in general?
Yes. No, I've been to Canada before for like a family vacation, but that was my first time going for wrestling.
Yeah. And so how was it for you? I mean, I'm assuming you made the drive up.
Oh, it was fun and ridiculous as I thought it was going to be. It was like eight Midwest wrestlers coming in like a tank-like vehicle, driving like a ridiculous amount of hours up there, hoping to get across the border without like any problems, even though there shouldn't be any problems. it was fun. It was fun. It was just like, okay, so this is, you know, this is a step of being a wrestler, is to wrestle internationally and travel with this many people. And when I got there to Winnipeg Pro, they treated us really awesome. We got to have some fun matches. I tagged with Eli Surge against Red Hot Summer. I hope those guys are doing well, even though they put a beating on us, but we put a beating on them, you know. But I see them post a bunch of stuff, so I imagine they're doing well. But that was a lot of fun. I hope I get to go back again sometime. I saw that you got added to the commentary team. Congratulations.
I did. Thank you very much. I wasn't expecting a formal announcement like that, so it kind of took me a little bit by surprise. So but like, I remember your...
Oh yeah, that's all.
I was going to say, I remember your match.
You remember our match?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, because I was curious how the dynamic was going to work, because I mean, Eli, when you see him, you don't expect what he can do in the ring, like, because, you know, he comes out with the tinfoil hat, you know, the birds aren't real flag. You're thinking like, okay, it's, you know, it's going to be more of a comedic aspect, but like, the guy can go. And what I liked was like, this was our first introduction to you, and like, you were able to use some of those comedic aspects, and like, it helped benefit both you guys as a team, and really came across very well, I thought.
Thank you. When I first met Eli and we discussed how we're going to go about this tag team, I knew that we were going to clash in the most entertaining way possible. So when I saw that we're facing Red Hot Summer and this is how we're going to go, I'm like, okay, well, I'm the alpha. I'm going to lead this thing. And Eli decided birds aren't real and he's just going to do whatever he wants. I knew I'm just going to have fun with this, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to beat this team either way. And we still ended up clashing. It cost us the win, but hey, I had a lot of fun. I would team with Eli Surge again to face Red Hot Summer one more time.
Hey, I'd watch that again.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, even like, there was a few other matches I checked out where like, you're able to lean into that, even if it's, you know, your opponent who's got like a little bit of a comedic aspect to their gimmick, like you're able to still work with that. Like, there's some wrestlers who they can't do that. But like, for yourself, like, whether it was heel or face, you're able to. And like, when I'm watching, I think that like, okay, this is something that like, it allows you to build off of when it comes to, you know, character work and just to continue improving. Like, that's a huge benefit to someone.
Oh yeah. Like when I was like figuring out what this character, the Alphasaurus Beyond Alpha at the Orlani, is going to be, I discussed it and bounced it off a lot of people. But I would say it was mainly put together between me and the head trainer at Freelance Wrestling Academy, Isaias Velasquez. We just bounced it off each other. And I wanted a character that can have many different avenues to go. So yeah, he's not locked into a spot. So I wanted to be entertaining. He can be strong. He can He can be silly. He can be serious. Mm-hmm. As he can play off any character and add to it. So we could both add each other's stuff and make a good storyline. I have never had a clash with my gimmick anyone else just because of how flexible my character is, fortunately.
And like nowadays, that goes such a long way because you're seeing so many different shows or like themed shows, things like that, where like to be able to do something like that, like it's going to make yourself, I mean, you know, it's going to improve your in-ring, improve your character, and then also like make you more marketable for promotions, which, you know, may be hesitant, but like know that, hey, you can work different styles. You can work that comedic aspect. Like it's all beneficial when you look at it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was part of the marketing charm. a big thing at freelance, at least at the time they were really preaching to us, was you need to be more than just you. You know, you don't have to be complete like meme wrestler, but you need something to grab them in some kind of entertaining factor. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that if it's going to be something, it's going to be something I like and something I would enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And even then, the bell's going to ring. So I was okay with doing this and becoming this and feeding this as long as the bell would ring and I can do my thing in there and then just, you know, add touches to it. You know, I think of Orange Cassidy. You know, he starts out the match, he does his thing, you know, and then the match starts, kicks in the overdrive. And honestly, I think he's the best wrestler in the world. And if someone would explain his gimmick to someone, he'd be like, I'm not too sure about that. And then they would see it, be like, oh, I get it, you know.
Dude, the first time I saw him, I'm thinking like, okay, this is going to be legit. Like, what are we doing? And then you see him in ring and the work that he can do is unbelievable. Like you would never expect it when you're first seeing the guy.
Oh no. I would not. And I would think like he doesn't even have to do that stuff, but he wants to, which I really like about him. He wants to push that boundary of, okay, here's the top elite wrestlers, and then I'm going to add myself to that because I want to be. Even if my character may seem to others, it might bring it down, but you put me in the ring with some of the best wrestlers in the world, and I can hold my own.
Do you have a preference when it comes to like the heel or face dynamic, like one that you really like kind of resonates with you a bit more?
You know, at this point in the game, I've wrestled so many times as both. Like, I think at this point it's been even. Like the first year I wrestled predominantly as a bad guy. And then last year I wrestled predominantly as a good guy. And I still like switched off, like here and there both years, but I feel like I maxed out like at each level of hate and love, and I really enjoy doing them both. But I did it all last year, but predominantly face, honestly, I really enjoyed that. And I was, when I first started wrestling, a lot of people really didn't believe that I would ever be a face in anyone's eyes, but somehow, some way, I made it work, and I really got people behind me last year and this year. I'm going into this year as predominantly a face, which is still very cool to me.
Yeah, I think it's great when you can work that, like, to be able to do either way, because there are some wrestlers, whether it's their gimmick or their style of wrestling, where it's like, yeah, you can only be a face, you can only be a heel, but to be able to switch back and forth, like that's a huge prop. So I think that's really great. I wanted to ask, because I saw on your Instagram Power Cleaning 245. Have you always been, you know, hitting the gym, like working out, weightlifting and all that?
I would say weirdly enough, like I did it in sports, obviously, but I wasn't super serious about it. And I'm still not super serious about it now. Mm-hmm. It's just that I started doing CrossFit actually.
Okay.
And of course they would have like challenges, like one rep maxes. And of course you always want to do better than like what you did last. And then you just find yourself moving a lot better, like a lot more weight than you used to. And I honestly post that stuff because like I posted to show I'm at least doing the work here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like, I'm sure you're on like all the social medias too, seeing people throw around like much more weight. That's just me just like for myself. And then like, maybe I'll add the character somewhat in there or whatever. But I never thought I still don't think I'm still like the character thinks he's the strongest person in the world. Mm-hmm. Me, I think I'm average. I'm just trying my best to get better. I still have goals I want to throw around. I'm just still trying to reach them. But there are a lot of people that are like, oh, okay. Like, whoa, this guy's actually for real a little bit. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Hey, you had me impressed because like 245 pounds is 245 pounds, no matter what way you look at it. So to be able to get that up, hey, man, I'll give you props all day for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, obviously wrestling, it takes up a big part of your life, but like what else, like how do you wind down when it's not involving wrestling? Like, you know, movies, music, anything like that? Like other interests you have?
It's weird. I feel like it's still so unhealthy. I just watch wrestling usually. And I try to find other interests, and I do find some here and there, but they're kind of just phases. It'll be like a show, a documentary series, but then they just go by, and then I'm watching like a wrestling pay-per-view from like a weekend ago or something. Mm-hmm. I'm watching more matches. Hanging out with my family is always just the main hobby to tone down and relax down and bring me back to reality a little bit. And hang out with my friends when I get a chance. And honestly, the gym and working out, like that's also just something I do just to keep my mind to tone down the wrestling and bring myself to real life, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know for myself, because like, you know, I usually go every morning before work. That's my time in the gym. And like I find for myself, like when I don't go, like, you know, there's days where you need that rest day, you need to sleep in, whatever it may be. Like those are the days where you feel off because like you get so used to the routine of like going every morning this time, you get your workout in, you feel good. So like, for myself, I know like I'm so used to it that if I don't go, I get thrown off completely.
Oh, your body feels different. Your body's like, your body kind of wants it, but you're trying to tell yourself to like, okay, you got to tone this down. You got to relax a little bit because once again, it goes back to the injury thing. You don't want to take an injury. You know your body needs a break. Mm-hmm. And it's understanding your body. And it's just, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so hard to fight off than you think. Like, not everything. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what you're talking about.
Well, because there's one guy at the gym, you know, we'll sometimes work out together, and like, because it's nice having a spot there sometimes, because like it does help, you know. I feel like it allows you to actually push yourself a little bit more, knowing that like, hey, if you're gonna fail, there's somebody there that will make sure that you don't hurt yourself. But like we were doing some incline bench, and like we're loading the weight up, and I bang off 225, and here I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, there is no reason whatsoever I need to be doing this much weight on like an incline bench. So it's like even just taking a step back when it comes to like how much you're doing.
Oh yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing actually that I do. I don't work out with anyone else just because I feel I need to. I gotta go at my own pace. Even at like the CrossFit classes, there's times when they have the whole class doing a certain weight or whatever. And I'm not, and I don't, and I go at a less weight just because like, I feel like I do something just different. Like I need to be able to catch people to power. Like a lot of my moves are power moves. I got to keep the strength, and I can't risk fatiguing randomly. Like I got to keep it strong and do a lot of reps or whatever. But if it's like a crazy amount that I could do, I just choose not to, just because like I don't want to once again, afford a freak injury. So I don't work out with anyone one-on-one. I'll do a CrossFit class for an hour. And then fortunately, the gym, the CrossFit gym I go to is kind of connected to a bodybuilding gym. And I'll go over there and do bodybuilding by myself at my limits, distinctly.
Yeah, it's nice having somebody there, but I know even for myself, like, because you get in the zone, whether it's, you know, like, you got the music, you got a podcast, you're just focused. And there's the days where, like, everything is clicking, and if there's somebody else there, you are going to get thrown off up. Like,
the ego lifting gets you. It gets everyone. It still gets me. Like, I still fall for it sometimes. I'm like, maybe another plate. And sometimes you find out real quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's days where, like, because I know even for bench, I'll do, like, I do a 5x5 for bench, and I'll do 275. That's, you know, what I'm at. Some days I'm feeling it.
That's so great. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Like, I'm happy with it, especially for, like, my age, what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, there's days where, like, you're banging off that first set, and you're like, okay, you know, you might throw a little bit of more weight on there. And then there's days where, like, you're wondering, you're like, is this even too much for me today? Like, do I need to take those 25s off and just do 225? Like, it's weird how you really have to listen to your body and what it's telling you.
I get that sense as soon as, like, I warm up on the first rep of 135. I'm like, okay, no, we're not going all the way up to, we're not going up to 275. We're gonna bang out 225 is for, like, a set of five by fives, honestly. Yeah, kind of like you. Yeah, those five by fives. And after that, we'll play around. Maybe we'll do some band stuff or something. But we're not going higher.
No. Yeah. But it's a big part, whether it's wrestling, weightlifting, you have to listen to your body and know when to dial it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask for yourself. I mean, we talked a little bit about, like, you know, the places you've been in 2023, how great 2024 has been for you so far. Are there any matches that really stand out to you, or matches, moments, anything like that?
The last year, matches that stood out last year for me? Mm-hmm. Let me pull up my sheet. I didn't think of that for some reason. There's been just so many that, like, that's the thing with wrestling. You're just wrestling every weekend. You're doing everything. And then you, like, I keep track on a list, but, like, the memory just dies out for me real quickly. Let's see.
And even the way wrestling is nowadays, I mean, like, there are so many great matches. There's so many shows every weekend that, like, there'll be a great card. And then the next week there's one just as good. So it's so easy for it to get lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, that too. But I got some. So you guys actually just saw him, Solomon Tupu. Mm-hmm. I wrestled him at the promotion Iron Spirit. That was a really fun one I had. Let's see, Josh C. I'm not sure if Josh C's ever made. Oh yeah,
Frontman Jaw.
Oh yeah, Frontman Jaw. I wrestled him like three or four times last year, and they're always kind of fun.
Well, one of them was for Destination Pro, correct?
Yeah. That was the last one we had. That one was, I think that one was my favorite, because I feel like we really clicked the most, that one of all the ones we faced. And it was a blast for me. All of them were a blast, but that one especially was a blast. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who was another one? I wrestled Chris Masters last year for a camp show. Too bad it's not streaming anywhere. That was a lot of fun. That, once again, going back to the 2007 SmackDown vs. Raw, like, I always used to, it's funny, I used to always beat up his character. And I knew his whole moveset. So, like, that was one of my most fun matches I ever had, just because I'm like, Abba, what about this? And he's just like, yeah, that's actually really good. I'm like, yeah, it is, huh? That was always so much fun. I wrestled a couple of matches against some locals. Sean Logan, he was really fun to wrestle with. Trick Davis, that he was a kind of a legend, and I've been wrestling for a while. Yeah, I had so many fun ones. A team with Eric Cannon. That was a fun one.
Eric is such a great guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's super cool. Super cool. I got to spend a little bit of time with him. Second Wrestling had a camp tour for 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I got a good chance to pick his brain some of those days. He was super cool, super fun. I got the tag with him once. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And let's see. Man, I wrestled so many weird places. I wrestled in the backyard against Trevor Outlaw. I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
Because he's done some stuff with Black Label Pro, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah. He's a big Black Label Pro guy. And then I feel like I have like one of my best matches ever last year with Jackson Stampede Larkin. He's a Second Wrestling guy. We had like a grudge match, a year long grudge match, and that match was just like magic. That one's streaming on Premier, I believe it's called Premier Network Wrestling or Premier Wrestling. If anyone wants to check that out, so much fun. A lot of my fun matches are on Premier with Second Wrestling.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I got a couple more for you, then I'll let you go. But one thing I always like to do is get a match recommendation. So one that you're a fan of, and it could be anything, WWE, Independence, New Japan, doesn't matter. But one you're a fan of that you think the listener should go check out.
A match I'm a fan of. Whew. Let's see. That's one of the things that they're like, everything is like, that's the thing with wrestling these days. Like, everyone is so good. Like, mm-hmm. we're talking about PWG 2016 and that trios match. And now you just see like matches like that every other week. Like, oh man, the Ospreay versus Omega match. I think the one in AEW, I think at the pay-per-view, I think it was the first one. That one was just like, it's just so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And then Bryan Danielson, whenever he's just in the ring, like whatever he does, I truly think I've always said like he's the best wrestler in the world. He's one of my like biggest reasons for becoming a wrestler is him. Every time like he steps in the ring with anyone, like this year on TV pay-per-view, it's a must watch. Even like when I'm tired, I want to go to sleep, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna watch a little bit of this Bryan Danielson match, and then I just end up watching the whole thing. Just
what he's been able to do like this past year, even like where like it's, you know, you're seeing these incredible matches weekly, and it's like Bryan Danielson comes on the screen and no matter what, the phone goes down, because it's like you have to be focused because you are going to be entertained when you see him out there.
I watch so many of his matches and I just try to keep learning from it. And like the truth is, like, he just hits so hard. You know, like he's like one person like I want to meet and I'd like to wrestle. But I know it's just going to be so painful, but I'm going to love every second of it. Like, I just know, like, I always see, like, if I ever wrestled him, my whole body being red up and down, like bruises on my body the whole time. I'm like, I'm watching him getting killed too. Yeah. I'm just like, oh man, can you just take a break once? Like, you know, just phone it in once.
He just can't.
He can't. And it makes me sad that like, supposedly, at least what I hear, I guess this is going to be his last year.
Yeah. So. Last full-time year. It's one of those things where like you have to really appreciate what you have now because it's going to be gone in a few short months.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully that just means he's just going to wrestle like maybe like four times a year for the next couple of years or something.
I hope so.
Like he's one of those wrestlers that just backtrack on their retirement.
You know? What do you have for upcoming matches where people can check you out at?
So right now, there's not a lot of things announced, so I can't really say. But I will pull up what has been announced. Mm-hmm. I save everything on Excel, but every time it's like always hard to play around with this. Let's see. So I have a show. I have a show, Raging Pro. It's a Wisconsin promotion on March 16th. I have just did this show, right? Yeah, I just did. I just finished up what I have announced for February. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So right now I only have like that show, the Raging Pro show, and then Tri-State Wrestling announced in April 27th. Okay. Everything else is not announced yet.
Not announced yet, but
not announced yet.
If they check out your social media, which I will give you the chance to plug, I'm sure that they will be able to find those dates out there.
Yes, yes. I follow my social media. I'll make sure to share and everything so that everyone stays on top of everything. Because I know like how kind of ridiculous it is. Just like, why can't you say anything? Well, it's just that's just kind of how like the show works and operates and goes by stages. So I'll go with my Twitter. I feel like I'm most active on that, and it's Ezio Orlandi Alpha, I believe. And I believe Instagram is Beyond Alpha Ezio Orlandi, and then Facebook is Beyond Alpha Ezio Orlandi. I also have TikTok too, Beyond Alpha Ezio Orlandi.
How's the TikTok going?
It's fine. I like to play with it more or less.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't get serious. Like, I try to tell myself to get serious with it, but then, like, these content creators are pumping out, like, 8 videos a day.
It's tough. Like, even for myself, it's like, what am I going to do with this?
What am I doing here?
Dude, thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I saw that you had, you've had a couple of people I know, and you also had, like, one of my fellow classmates from the Nightmare Factory, Cody Chun, on here.
Yes.
I listened to that. So I was just like, all right, this is going to be cool to be on. And I couldn't wait. And I'm happy you let me on, honestly. And I'm glad we worked this out, too, because this was kind of a, ooh, it was a whirlwind.
It did take a little bit of time, but we got it. And I'm really glad we did. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Thank you so much to Ezio. And thank you for checking out the podcast. I will say it every time. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me talk about wrestling. If it's your first time listening, you can find me up on all social media, Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, except TikTok. I'm not up on there. Email grainmakerpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm up on all podcast sharing platforms. You can also find me every Saturday doing Four Exposure with my good friend Pluggo as we take a look at the world of independent wrestling. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. We'll talk soon.